You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I forgive you. It is one of the most healing things anybody can say. It can also be one of the most irritating.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, our Father, great is your goodness, that you forgive our sins. Give us grace to accept your forgiveness with genuine repentance for all we have done or failed to do. Help us to learn how to receive forgiveness gratefully and how to extend it gracefully to others in the saving name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I forgive you. It's one of the most healing things anybody can say. It is also one of the hardest to say and to mean, I forgive you. It's one of the most irritating things anyone can say. I don't know of anything that arouses such resentment as saying to someone, I forgive you, when that someone doesn't think he has done anything wrong. I forgive you can start as many quarrels as it stops. Forgiveness touches a very sensitive point. It's where the hurt is. Both for the forgiving and for the forgiven. It's where, as they say, the rubber hits the road. This is where religion meets life. It's where the talking stops and the action begins. It's real, or it's nothing at all. For Jesus Christ, forgiveness was real. He didn't have to trade forgiveness with anybody, as we always do when we have to be forgiven while we are forgiving. He did not have to receive forgiveness in order to live. Yet if I read him correctly, forgiveness was the heart and soul of Jesus Christ. Son, take heart, your sins are forgiven. That's Jesus Christ talking and acting. Who can forgive sins but God only, protested some of the religious people of the time. He answered, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Take up your mat and go home. The man got up and went home. The people were amazed that God had given such power to men, not just the power to enable a sick man to stand up and go home, but the power to pronounce forgiveness and to make it stick. At the crucial moment in his life, when it would have been appropriate to call down lightning on his tormentors, Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. There must be something in forgiveness that has to do with the heart of life. Teaching his disciples to pray, Jesus Christ told them to ask first of all that the name of their Father in heaven might be hallowed, that his kingdom might come, his will be done. After that came a short plea for daily bread, and then the big part of the prayer. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. It isn't that the rest of the prayer is unimportant, but this is it. This is where it's at, between God and man. As it is between man and man, there is either forgiveness or there is nothing at all. The Apostles' Creed, offered by the early church to new members as a short summary of their faith and also as their personal confession, puts it as well as it can be put. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. In the Creed, there is God the Father. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. There is Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. There is the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. There is the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. There is God, and there is the Church, the creation of God's Holy Spirit. And now the Apostles' Creed comes to people like us. There is the forgiveness of sins, as real as God, as holy as his name, as powerful as his kingdom, and as gracious as his will done on earth as it most certainly is in heaven. There is the forgiveness of sins right here on earth. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe, and therefore I tell you today, with all the authority of God himself, and as plainly as I can say it, your sins are forgiven. There are no strings attached. Your sins are forgiven. There are no conditions to be fulfilled. Your sins are forgiven. There's nothing you can do to earn this. Your sins are forgiven. I know it will irritate some people to hear this. They don't need forgiveness, and they don't want it. They resent it. I can understand their feeling, because that's the way forgiveness works. When somebody is forgiven something he doesn't feel needs to be forgiven, it makes him boil over and blow up. The husband and wife are having a quarrel, and she says sweetly, "I forgive you." He boils over and blows up. He doesn't need forgiveness. She does, maybe, but not he. Forgiveness, unwanted, is like a knife driven in neatly between the shoulder blades. It hurts rather than heals. No wonder a lot of people resent the forgiveness of God. They don't need it, and they don't want it. Still, he forgives. That's God, as you see him in Jesus Christ. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. He died for all, for the whole world, whether it wants him or not. In Jesus Christ, there's forgiveness for the whole world. He is the heart of God, pouring out the love of God upon the whole world. When he died, all died. His death is the death of the world. If anyone listening to me today wants to die in his sins, he's free to do that. But those sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ died for those sins, whether yours or mine. He died for all, that those who accept his gift of forgiveness with faith and love might have a new life, not living for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and rose again. That's the good news of God in Jesus Christ. You can put it all in one word, forgiveness. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. That's forgiveness, his forgiveness. Some people resent this offer of forgiveness to the whole world. They resent it because they imagine that somehow, in some small way at least, they have to do something that deserves forgiveness. They must repent, turn from their evil way, and for that reason God will forgive them. Not so. That's not the way it works. That's just a trade between God and man, and that's not the way he forgives. God forgives for the sake of Jesus Christ, and because of him alone. There is no other reason. He is the one, the only one. He died for the sins of the whole world. Because of him, there is forgiveness of sins. Because of Jesus Christ, I can say to you today, I believe your sins are forgiven. Why should you be forgiven? That's a good question. Now we're talking about you, who you are, what you have done or have failed to do. You are forgiven, my friend, because you are a sinner. The wages of that sin of yours is death. It's your lot, and I don't have to prove that to you. You'll find it out for yourself one of these days in unmistakable terms. I don't have to tell you about your sins, nor do I have to try to convince you that you are a sinner. You know those sins of yours better than I do. Nothing is so unbecoming to a man or a woman as the pretense of perfection, or even of near perfection. It is insincere at best, and inhuman at worst, expecting other people and even God to go along with that empty boast. It is dishonesty at its lowest point when someone refuses to be honest, even with himself. The offer of God is honest and sincere. It is as honest and sincere as Jesus Christ himself. Your sins are forgiven. God says that, and he means it. When God forgives, he really forgives. He forgives and forgets. His forgiveness does not just clear up the past. It opens up the future. In the forgiveness of God, there's life. There's forgiveness for yesterday, and you can live today. With forgiveness for today, you can live for tomorrow. Forgiveness and life go together. They are married, like repentance and faith, like faith and love. That's forgiveness and life. The kindness of God calls you to repentance. People don't like to repent. It's like breaking up the old. And people don't like to see their lives crumble before their eyes. But that's what it takes. St. Paul, who had experienced it for himself, said it was like crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ, he said. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. With repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ, accept the gift of God. Your sins are forgiven. They really are. Christ died for you, and your sins are forgiven. Christ lives for you and wants to live in your heart by faith. In that life of his, there's new life for you, really new. New every day with forgiveness for every sin. I just visited a woman in the hospital today. She will probably not be here when this broadcast goes on the air. The doctors gave her 2 weeks to live. In her weakness, she welcomed me to that hospital room. I talked to her about the days she worked at our office. She was kind to me, and I thanked her for that kindness. I asked her whether she wanted to pray with me. She took my hands, and I prayed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who trespass and sin against us. It was as if she had been strengthened by God himself. As I was going out of the door of the hospital room, she called to me with unexpected strength and said, "How is everybody at the office?" I went back to her bed and talked to her about the girls at our office who share her faith with her. It was an ordinary conversation about ordinary events in the lives of ordinary people like ourselves. That's the way God comes to us. That's the way he comes to you today with his extraordinary gift. In our ordinary lives, your sins are forgiven. When it comes right down to it, that's life. It's the real life of God. It is life in Christ. It's the life we pray for when we say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." My friend, believe me when I say to you today, your sins are forgiven. They are forgiven by God. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. You believe it too, my friend. It's for you. Believe it for yourself. Accept it for yourself. And live for God. Amen.